This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Our superb producer, Matt Doyle, is at the controls. And if you'd like to give us a call, we'd like to hear from you. 877-217-5757 is your number. And you can send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with Quinn Hillier, longtime conservative voice, columnist, commentator, former top aide to Bob Livingston. He worked for many years in his home state of Louisiana at the Picayune, native of New Orleans, resident of Mobile, and he is here, as he occasionally is, to talk about the world at large. And as we finish 2018, it is an interesting world. And Quinn Hillier, the government shutdown's now in the sixth day. What do you make of this?
Hey, Jim, glad to be on with you. This is, in one sense, not as big a deal. I think a lot of people have figured out it's not as big a deal as other government shutdowns because they've already funded nearly 75% of the federal government by dollar amount. And of the 25% that they haven't funded, about a third of those are considered essential employees, and they're working anyway. So it's only about a sixth of the government that's not actually working right now. On the other hand, you can say, oh, well, it's only a sixth of the government. That's no big deal. On the other hand, there are things that are not being done. There are functions not being carried out, and the taxpayer will pay anyway because Congress insists, whenever this ends, Congress always insists on paying the back pay of the people, even the people that didn't work. Which means that we pay money without getting anything for it. All of which is to say, this is a mess that should be avoided, and it's especially absurd this time because they're doing it over this. They're fighting over this great, stupid, shiny bauble of a border wall, which I do support, but it's nowhere near as important as everybody says. And they're not focusing on the much more important stuff about how much money we're actually spending, which is way too much. So I'll stop there. But I just think it's sort of absurd, and it doesn't serve the public well.
Is it a diversion from more important matters? The president probably would like for this issue to be focused upon rather than some other matters. Is that part of the strategy?
Yeah, and that's why I call it a bright shiny bauble. It's when you hold the bright shiny bauble up before a child, or before if you hold a ball of string up in front of a cat, that's all they can look at, and so they don't look at stuff that might actually be much more important. And in this case, what's much more important is the deficit, the debt. And then also our standing in the world, which Trump is really, really hurting, especially with his unbelievably wrongheaded pullout of our 2,000 special forces from Syria. So this is a diversionary tactic to take minds off things that are much worse in other places.
Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday had its highest one-day gain ever, 1,086 points. Today, in the early going, it's down 441. It's down 22,437 as we speak, about 4,000 points lower than its high, a little more than 4,000. And right now, despite some good economic indicators, the stock market is not responding well to the Trump economy. What is going on here?
I will actually take a victory lap and note that I have been predicting exactly this since late January or early February of last year, whenever they passed the last omnibus spending bill. I said the stock market would start to tank in October, which it did, and that as the fall ended, it would get very serious, and it has. The underlying numbers, they're top, what I call top-line economic numbers, unemployment rate, inflation, that sort of thing. Those look good, but they're also underlying indicators, which are much more important long-term. The unprecedented high debt levels, both public and private, in a time of supposed plenty has never happened before in the history of the United States except in wartime. And then the trade policies that the president is are pursuing is those policies are disastrous. So what's happening is you've got nothing under the economy to pick it up if it starts to fall. You've got foreign businesses and foreign governments getting squeezed, and they're no longer buying our products, and they are no longer willing to issue us credit. And since we're living on their credit, we could be in a world of hurt. It's sort of complicated, but basically, I don't think the underlying economy is very good at all, and I think that's why the stock market is starting to tank. And with it, eventually the rest of the economy will, unless we change course.
877-217-5757 for Quinn Hillier, the longtime conservative columnist and commentator, and we get questions of all kinds. And the first one is, what about the Weekly Standard, which was a standard for conservative voices? What happened to that fine publication? It is now no longer around.
I will miss it. I think it has been a it was a great publication for 23 years. I think it had some of the finest journalism around, and also some of the finest human beings. Fred Barnes is the nicest man in Washington. Bill Kristol is greatly understood, but he is just a fine, fine human being, a very generous, thoughtful guy. And they had a lot of other really good younger journalists. I hate to see it go. You know, I can't comment on the business side of it. I'm not privy to that. But I just say, from a standpoint of journalism, it's a shame to see it go. And from a standpoint of some very good people, at least temporarily being out of jobs, I hate to see that as well.
Well, the Standard is a conservative, or was a conservative publication, and at times of late was at odds with the president more than once, many times, and maybe that wasn't good for business from a conservative slant. And that may explain why in places like Louisiana and your now home state of Alabama, the Republicans are reluctant to criticize our president. Is that going to change, or will Donald Trump be able to retain his base being the 11 Southeastern Conference states, until the day he leaves office?
He'd probably be able to retain it, although attitudes can change very quickly if the economy completely goes south. Right now, he's claiming credit, I think wrongly, for the fact that those top-line economic numbers have been so good. The question is whether his strongest supporters blame him if the economy moves into a recession or near recession, which is what the stock market is indicating might happen. Believe it or not, I think he's one politician who people might, his strongest backers might continue to support even if the economy completely tanks. Why that is a matter for psychology, but it does look like he's got a hold on those voters, and as long as he does, he can probably win renomination to the presidency, but he might very well get beat by a Democrat in the fall of that year.
Do you think that he will be challenged from within his party?
He will be challenged from within his party. The question is whether a challenge has much of a chance. And again, that's what we were just discussing. I think if the economy does not tank, I think he's unbeatable within his own party. If the economy tanks, there's a chance for his challenger or challengers to beat him. But even then, it'll be an uphill battle.
Where will the challenge come from?
Well, almost certainly one person that will run either as a Republican or try some third-party weirdness is outgoing Governor John Kasich of Ohio. I don't think he has much of a chance of beating Trump within the Republican Party, but he clearly wants to run. The name that I hear people that want to see this happen. The name that they're sort of bandying about is Ben Sasse, the freshman senator from Nebraska, who is a very impressive guy and has a very winning personality. He has sort of a self-deprecating humor. He can explain complicated issues very clearly and succinctly. The problem there is his term ends in 2020, so he doesn't have a free shot. If he runs for president, he can't run for re-election for the Senate. That might make it hard.
877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. And Quinn Hillier, the veteran conservative columnist and commentator, is with us for another segment. Later in the hour, we'll hear from Dr. Joseph Abraham. His book is Kings, Conquerors, Psychopaths, From Alexander to Hitler to the Corporation. We're back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757, and talk at talklouisiana.org. For Quinn Hillier in our remaining segment with him, and Steve Wynnum, the former state budget director who now resides in St. Francisville, asked Quinn's view on media bias, and he asks, Quinn, is accurate reporting in danger? What do you think about where we are as far as the president's attack on the media?
I'd like to separate it from Trump because Trump's attacks are over the top when he talks about the enemy of the people. That's a term straight out of communist Russia, straight out of the Kremlin. So I'd like to set that over the top stuff aside. Setting all that aside, the answer is yes. The media reporting, the level of reporting, I think, has gotten really, really bad in the sense that there seems to be no separation these days between fact and opinion. Look, I'm an opinion journalist, but I openly say that what I'm giving is fact-based, but it's opinion. It is opinion, you know, based on solid reporting and facts, et cetera, but it's still my analysis of it. The problem is you have so many reporters out there who are labeled basically straight news reporters, and they don't seem to draw a distinction. They will report stuff, but then they will, in the very next breath, put in some little bit of analysis. They'll throw in an adjective that doesn't belong there. That judges something that is better to let the people decide. I've been a critic of the media for a long time, but I really do think that it's gotten worse. That people don't recognize the difference between a straight pure fact and an opinion or an analysis. And that is a very, very big problem.
877-217-5757, Gaston calling from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Gaston. You're on with Quinn Hillier.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm glad you could take my call. I'm over here at the foot of the steps of the Capitol, and I wanted to tell Mr. Quinn, I often disagree with you, but I'm glad to hear sometimes we do agree recently. But our president, the businessman, deal maker, in my opinion, it seems like he's dealing for himself. I mean, he gives a big tax break to a lot of big companies and himself and his friends, yet we runs up a deficit. Do you feel like that's a real conservative approach? Because it seems to me that often these companies are buying back their stocks, and who benefits is the head stockholder. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Gaston.
I think Gaston makes a very good point. I agree in part and disagree in part, but I mostly agree. I actually do think that the corporate income tax cut, along with getting rid of some exemptions and some deductions, was a good thing for the economy short-term and long-term. I thought there were parts of the tax cut that were unnecessary, and I won't go into which is which, but apart from the tax cut, I completely agree with Gaston. This president is in no way, shape, or form a fiscal conservative. There's nothing conservative about him. and he has signed and encouraged a continuation of incredibly high deficits, the highest we've ever had in the time of economic plenty, ever. We've sometimes, when the economy goes bad, then you have a temporary spike in the deficit. Right now, we've got the deficit near as high as it's ever been, even though you've got more people working than ever. So when more people are working than ever, you should be bringing in more tax money, and you should be spending less on social spending, so the deficits should go down. Instead, he and Congress are spending like, you know, there's a cliche, like drunken sailors, but worse than drunken sailors. And it's a very, very big problem, and I think that's one reason that in the end, this economy is on much shakier ground than most people think.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Quinn.
Yeah, as for distinctions between fact and fiction, do you agree with Kathleen Hall Jamison's analysis that the right is much more strident at pushing distorted views?
Absolutely not. That's absurd. I'm not going to say the right does it less than the left, but I think it's totally absurd to say that the right is much more strident. I mean, the media tried to make the Tea Party out as some sort of crazy strident radicals, and yet you would go to their rallies and they were polite and they would clean up after themselves. They wouldn't leave litter. They wouldn't break anything. The equivalent on the left, Antifa, et cetera, they riot. They break things. They loot. They set things on fire. The left could play the same game and say, what about this side on the right, you know, this group on the right? The problem is both sides have gotten more virulent and less willing to listen to the other side. And part of it is this game of saying, well, you're worse than I am. No, you're worse than I am. No, they're both really getting bad, and unless each side recognizes its own sins and says, yeah, we're doing it too, then we're in really big trouble.
All right, what about Fox News? What do you think of Fox News?
I could ask, what do you think of MSNBC, which is much more strident on the left than Fox News is on the right?
No, I would disagree with you there, as would many others.
Wait a minute. Rachel Maddow.
What about Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity? I think Rachel Maddow is certainly more in the mainstream of American thought than they.
Oh, that's absurd.
But you disagree. No, I think what you said is absurd, Quinn.
Rachel Maddow, they even have Al Sharpton on, for God's sakes. I mean, he's responsible for riots and for people getting killed. And
well,
he's
Fox
a
has a lot of conservative bomb throwers.
And my point is what you just said is a perfect example of each side not being able to recognize its own sins. Fox News, outside of one or two straight news shows, Fox News has gotten increasingly openly way biased to the right and to Trump. But for the left not to even acknowledge how incredibly crazy left MSNBC gets is part of the problem.
Okay, I would agree. It is left, but I wouldn't say crazy left. Quinn, what about the bone spur story that came out yesterday, front page New York Times? The president apparently did not have bone spurs when he was subject to fighting in Vietnam. Does that really matter in these days and times? Does it really matter that the commander-in-chief was, for all intents and purposes, a draft dodger? And we've had at least one other draft dodger that we know of who has been in the Oval Office.
Yes, it does matter. It mattered when Bill Clinton was clearly a draft dodger by any reasonable definition of the word, and the same thing applies to Donald Trump. Bone spurs, he couldn't even remember which foot it was. So if you don't remember what foot it was that kept you out of the war, then the foot wasn't really bad. which is what the daughters of the podiatrists are saying now. Look, this is a president who used to joke that he went through his own private Vietnam by not getting venereal disease in the 1970s.
Thank you, Quinn Hiller. Hiller, it is always a pleasure, and we'll be calling again soon. Happy New Year to you. We're back after the news.